Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar. The occasion of the inauguration of Gustavo Petro as the new president of Colombia. Finances, the economy. We're told again by the Wall Street Journal reporting that the economy has suffered these last years of pandemic, accelerating the number of people below the poverty line in the country. One of the responses from Gustavo Petro during the campaign was taxes. Not only taxes on individuals, but taxes on companies called the extractive companies. That would be coal and oil. There is a new finance minister, Jose Antonio Ocampo, who was a professor at Columbia University, is well regarded. The Financial Times regards him as a credible source. He is making announcements that he will presently have a plan to raise taxes on individuals, very few of whom pay, according to the OECD, and that the tax reform is critical for Mr. Ocampo and for Gustavo Petro. Joseph, one way to go forward now is to make the tax code transparent and equitable. Are we seeing flight of the well-to-do, or are we seeing people patient for the reforms?
I think initially when President-elect Petro back then had just won the presidency, you did see an initial spark of capital flight that was moving outside the country, mostly to the United States, honestly, mostly into Southern Florida. But with the naming of Jose Antonio Campo as the new finance minister, that calms some of that down. He's a known figure within financial circles, financial markets. He's a known figure in Washington, in New York. He has some level of credibility in terms of serving as a finance minister in the past. And so he kind of, I think the naming of Ocampo helped stabilize a little bit of the uncertainty, but not necessarily permanently, just kind of in a wait and see. Let's see if Petro is as bad economically as some have projected, or let's see if Jose Antonio Campo is going to have some influence over his government. But here's the thing, and this is something I think we have to take into account of what we learned from the Pedro Castillo government. Not that Peru and Colombia are completely the same, but they're in the same region and they both have turbulent political situations. In the Peru situation, it was kind of inverse. He named very radical people at the offset of his presidency, completely shocked the financial markets and also the political establishment inside the country. And that turned to a lot of turbulent times for Peru. And so I think Petro in many ways has learned from that and said he may have other people in mind down the line. But right now what he wants to do is he wants to establish some sort of credibility and legitimacy with international actors, including the United States and others. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to swap these people out down the line for more radical or more, I'd say even like-minded individuals that are going to do things that are going to be much more aggressive, but it will allow him to have that time to build that up in an appropriate manner, instead of doing it the way Pedro Castillo did in Peru, very abruptly, and it pretty much kind of it hurt his own government and his ability to advance on his own policies to this day.
Now we come to an issue that is non-transparent and highly suggestive. Joseph brings to my attention an Instagram showing two individuals, one from Colombia, that would be the foreign minister, I believe, meeting with the vice president of Iran. And who was in attendance for the inauguration. What is this to signal from the new government, Joseph?
So this is very significant, John, because I know because of my research and the work that we do at our center, Secure Free Society, that Iran has a very influential role in South America. Obviously, it's probably most prominent inside Venezuela, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't spill over into other countries, namely into his neighbor in Colombia. But most of the throughout history, that presence has been somewhat subtle and very low profile. They didn't want to make a lot of noise. They had ambassadors that would sometimes communicate to the press, to the public, but very on a limited engagement. I think what this is symbolizing is a new era for Iran-Colombia relations, and really a new era for Iran-Latin America relations, where Iran's going to become much more visible in ways that they've already done in Venezuela, where they have supermarkets and oil deals and military engagements, and they want to bring this over into Colombia. But we know, those of us that follow Iran, John, you and all the folks that we look at the Middle East, we know what comes when Iran starts to get more involved politically inside your country. That comes with IRGC operatives, that comes with intelligence operations, that comes with military and paramilitary proxy destabilization, and that comes with Hezbollah, which has had a presence inside Colombia for a very long time. So this was very symbolic to me that they met, and especially that they met the day before the inauguration. That means the foreign minister, at the time incoming foreign minister, Alberto Leyva, of all the priorities he has among the people that are coming for the inauguration, he took a significant amount of time to meet with a country that has no real trade relations, no real cultural relations, but only has the ambition of being able to create this new alliance that extends to Venezuela, that's destabilizing and impoverishing Latin America. I think that's what this means. It's very important. I think we need to pay close attention to that relationship.
The Financial Times report anticipating the inauguration of Gustavo Petro carried an article talking about the anxiety in the armed forces in Colombia. Of note, the Colombia has the most money committed to, of the gross domestic product committed to military spending of the large states of Latin America, larger than Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Peru, Mexico. So we're looking at a sizable establishment. Is there right now, Joseph, a history of the Colombian military becoming political, or has it stayed out of the fray?
So this is a good question, John. And one of the things I'm concerned about is the new incoming defense minister has a background in sometimes politicizing his positions, in the case of when he was the commissioner for an anti-corruption body out of the UN in Guatemala. He was accused of this by the Guatemalan government, of politicizing his position. Now he's the defense minister, and what we've heard so far from Mr. Ivan Velasquez, the new incoming defense minister, is that he's going to prioritize anti-corruption. He's going to prioritize having the military not violate human rights and the police forces not violating human rights. And that's all good, but let's not forget the main role of the Colombian armed forces, which is security and defense of the nation. I want to hear more about what he's going to do on that regard, and not what he's going to do internally to be able to work at getting rid of corruption and human rights violations, which is fine and is important and something that I think the Duque government already began. They created an observatory for human rights. But let's hear about what your plan is to deal with the threats and the adversaries that Colombia is undergoing, both internal and external, because they are significant, John. I mean, I was in Colombia for pretty much the better part of the last year, and I'm telling you, the Russians are very strong in there doing espionage and all kinds of different activities. Organized crime is rampant. There's not just the regular cartels that we talk about in terms of the Elan and the Gulf cartel. There's all these mini cartels and organized and street crime, I'm sorry, is growing inside the country. So I want to hear about that and not just about the other stuff that Mr. Velasquez has talked about so far.
Joseph Umar, The New World Report. We're headed to Argentina. Mystery. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right here.